Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Last week, Easter, wasn't it Easter? Easter? Was last week Easter? Easter was last week. Yeah, because last week we talked about the resurrection of Jesus. Man, my brain is like already like 2 or 3 weeks ahead, sorry. So we saw Jesus' resurrection as proof that what Jesus says is going to happen, right? Like what Jesus says is going to happen. His resurrection gives us a hope. It gives us an expectation of our resurrection because of who we are in Christ. That means our hope is real. It's living. And it helps us to see that regardless of what we're going through in this life, we can confidently set our eyes on our future, knowing that nothing that we're going through now is going to even compare to what is to come. To what is to come. If you have trusted Jesus to save you, to give you a new birth, then because you are in Christ, your future looks really good. And I want to talk about that today. First Peter, I'm going to do a little bit of review because what we talked about last week has a lot to do with what we're going to look at this week. In 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses 3 through 5, we looked at this last week, but it tells us a lot, not only of what happens with Jesus' resurrection, but also because of what we get to look forward to. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What does your future look like because of Jesus' resurrection? What is this hope that we have? What can you know about what's to come? Well, the Bible does talk a lot about our future. And today we're going to see as much as we can in the brief time, the 20, 30 minutes that we have together, to see as much as we can about our future that we have in Christ. And one simple word to describe your future is found in verse 4. It says, to an inheritance. To an inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Peter describes your future as an inheritance, all right? Well, before we take time to look at what that inheritance actually is, I want to take a brief minute to show you something amazing about what this passage is talking about, specifically how God in his grace and power brings you and your inheritance together. And I kind of mentioned this last week, but I want to go over it again because it's good. Because first of all, is this, as God's child, your inheritance is already reserved in heaven for you. Your inheritance is already there. It already exists, and it's already waiting for you. It's like, you know how Christmas, like you have the Christmas tree, and then you have presents under the tree. You can see the present. It's there waiting for you. You can't open it up. You can't peel through the wrapping, because when God wraps something up, he makes sure that nobody can peek through it. But it's like, it's there. You see it, and you're just waiting for the day when you get to open it up. And that's kind of what we can see here. It's there waiting for you. You know it's there. But also something interesting is how God brings you to your inheritance. Verse 5 says, you who are kept by the power of God. You're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter says that because we are in Christ, we are protected, we are kept by God's power as we trust him and not ourselves. God is the one who keeps you through this life. You are in his hands, and nothing, no one will be able to take you away from him. So he has your inheritance in store for you, and he will bring you safely to that inheritance. And this is, remember how we talked about the Holy Spirit being our guarantee, basically like being our incon, our incon of our future inheritance? Let me go back to that. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 11 through 14 says this, in whom also we have obtained, what? An inheritance. There it is again, our future, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13 says this, in whom also ye trusted, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit, what does he confirm in us? What is he guaranteeing? What is this inheritance talking about? Romans 8 tells us what it is. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself, what beareth witness with our spirit. He's confirming it, right? What is he confirming? That we are the children of God. Why is that so important? If children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ himself. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is our hope. This is our confidence in Christ. So whatever you may be going through right now, if you suffer with him, even in this day, as difficult and as discouraging as it may be in the moment, please know that this moment of suffering cannot even be compared to what is going to be eternally yours in the future. Because you are in Christ, you can look forward to beyond today. Because you are in Christ, you can look at your life now in light of what is to come. So let's talk about our inheritance. What is it? What does it look like? We've already seen some aspects of the inheritance being described a little bit. So let me talk a little bit, first of all, about some of the characteristics. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 how it's describing our inheritance. And this is the words it uses. It says to an inheritance, right? That's our inheritance. What is the description? Incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. Well, what does it mean to be incorruptible? It means it doesn't decay. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't get damaged. You know, as time goes on, things tend to get worse, right? In this case, our inheritance is not like that. In this case, our inheritance is as good 10,000 years from now as the day we receive it. And it's also undefiled. It won't have any mistakes in it. There won't be any bad parts to it. There won't be anything that takes away from its perfection. It'll be completely perfect. Nothing hindering its perfection. Nothing like that. And here's an amazing thing, is it's unfading. It fades not away. It stays just as new, just as fresh, just as wonderful as the day we receive it. Time will not diminish the freshness, the awe, the wonder that we enjoy at that first moment of saying, wow, this is ours. That freshness doesn't get old. It's like, wow, every day you wake up, wow, this is my inheritance. What an amazing thing. Each day, God's grace is more and more revealed to us forever and ever because his grace is infinite. Our passage in Romans tells us that because Jesus lets us be joint heirs with him, our inheritance is actually his inheritance that he shares with us. And this is important to understand. You see, this is Jesus' inheritance. It is the inheritance that the Father gives to his Son. And yet by Jesus' grace, he chooses to share his own inheritance with those who are in him. And by sharing his inheritance, he also shares his glory with us that comes with that inheritance. The inheritance is his, and the glory is his, and yet by his grace, because we are in him, he shares that inheritance and his glory with us. Isn't that amazing to just think about that? How gracious is Jesus to us? How kind. Now, these things describe our inheritance, but it doesn't actually tell us what it is, though, does it? In our passage in Ephesians 1, it's really interesting because the words that are used in Ephesians 1 in the Japanese Bible actually translate the word inheritance as the word kingdom. In verse 11, it talks about how we have obtained, in the Japanese Bible, it talks about how we have obtained a kingdom. In verse 14, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of the kingdom in which we will inherit. And I think actually that's a perfect description of our inheritance right now. What think about how we, has anybody ever received an inheritance? I haven't. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My family is still doing great. But think about what somebody receives when they receive an inheritance. The inheritance is based on what the person is giving to his children, right? For example, the children of a farmer will inherit what? A farm. The children of a business owner will inherit a business. The children of an estate, a beautiful mansion, an estate, will inherit that estate, right? What do the children of a king inherit? A kingdom. A kingdom. It's a perfect description of our inheritance. We become rulers in the kingdom that we inherit from our Father because we are in Jesus. God hands the kingdom over to Jesus. The entire kingdom, all of creation, God hands the kingdom over to Jesus to rule and reign forever. And then Jesus shares that kingdom with those who are in him. That's you and that's me. So what does that kingdom look like? What is it that we are going to enjoy ruling and reigning with our Savior, our King? We can find a description of that kingdom in the very end of the Bible in Revelation 21 and 22. Those two chapters are amazing. And so it helps us to see a little bit of what we're getting ready to see. Take with me, look with me just for a few brief moments of what that kingdom was going to be like. In Revelation 21, we see the beginning of our eternal inheritance where God is recreating heaven and earth. In verse 1, it says this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea." Verse 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle," oh, this is awesome, "the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." That's just amazing. That's just an amazing thing. What happens when that happens? Verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Verse 5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Here we see an amazing scene unfolding. The moment all creation has been groaning for from the first sin of Adam and Eve, we see the complete redemption of and complete restoration of all of creation. Everything becomes new. What's more, God lives in his creation. And we see all of the effects of sin being completely eradicated from this new creation. No more suffering, no more tears, no more death, none of the sorrow and pain that was part of the old earth. All of sin and all of its effects have been completely wiped away. Everything is once again, as God saw it in the first creation, good. Very good. Now we see an angel coming down to John to show him the inheritance of those who are in Christ. This is our inheritance. We see it in verse 9. It says this. Verse 9, Revelation 21, verse 9. Did I have it in there? I hope I did. Okay, good. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talking with me, saying, come here, come hither. I want to show you something. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. This is going to be amazing. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And he had a great wall, and it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. We see this great city, this new Jerusalem, shining like a diamond. In the next couple of verses, he talks the specifics about the foundations, the gates, the walls, how big it's going to be. It's literally going to be like 2,200 kilometers wide, 2,200 kilometers long, and 2,200 kilometers tall. It's huge. But there's more to it. Verse 21 talks about the streets. I think this is one of the most interesting things about the about heaven. There's a ton of them, and this is one of them, actually. I don't think he even talks about it. Sorry, I didn't even put it in there. It literally talks about the streets of gold, right? And I think this is one of the most unique things. When's the last time you went to a place and said, man, I love their streets. They just have the most amazing streets. We don't do that. And yet, even the streets, the pavement of heaven is made with the highest, with the most valuable precious metal that we have right now in the New Jerusalem. Our most current, most precious metal is simply pavement. I love that. Talks about how the whole city lives in the light of the glory of Jesus, the Lamb. We do not need the sun. We don't need the moon. We don't even have to have light. We don't even need it. Talks about the people who live in the city. People whose names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. That's you and that's me. This is our city. This is your city. This is the citizen. Remember we talked about I am a citizen of heaven? This is the city of which you are a citizen. There's so much packed into these verses that there's no way I'm going to be able to share all of them with you. So I highly suggest you read Revelation 21 and the beginning of 22. There's so much. I didn't even talk about the river of life that flows from the throne of God. The river of life that flows from the throne. The tree of life that has the 12 seasons of fruit. It's just an amazing thing. Everywhere you look, it's just full of wonder. And this is your inheritance. Let me show you what you will be doing in this city. Revelation 22, verse 3 says this, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in this city. And his servants, that's us, shall serve him. In our new city, the last thing we're going to be doing is playing harps, fluttering around on wings all the time. We have goals, we have projects, we have exciting adventures. We have all of these different things that we can do to serve our Heavenly Father. He's giving us roles of importance and roles of productivity. He's giving us so much exciting things to do. We will have active roles in our city. This is amazing. We literally get to directly work for God, the creator of all things. Where do you work for? I work in New Jerusalem. Heavenly, the creator of all things, that's my boss. That's just an amazing thing. But here's something else that's amazing. Verse 4. And they shall see his face. Stop. Full stop. They shall see his face. Here on this present earth, no one sees the face of God. Only a few chosen people have even been in the presence of God. But for those who of us who are in Christ, we get to not only continually be in his presence, we will see his face. Not only that, we have his name written in our foreheads. In other words, no one can deny that we directly belong to, that we are children of God himself. Whatever being there may be existing, everybody else is going to know that the redeemed, those who are in Christ, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, belong to God. His name is clearly evident on our foreheads. Verse 5, there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and this. And they shall reign forever and ever. They shall reign, rulers, inheritors of the kingdom, will rule and reign with Christ. Because you are in Christ, this is just the beginning of your future. All of this is yours simply because Jesus graciously chooses to share his inheritance with you. You get to reign with him forever, no end. You get to be an heir of God's kingdom. So can I challenge you? Don't worry too much about what's going on right now. It's temporary. It's not going to last. There's an end. And then there's going to be a beginning. A beginning with no end. Your inheritance that has no end. Pure, undefiled, doesn't fade, incorruptible, all because you are in Christ. The beginning of all joys with purpose and meaning that you can fully see. Set your eyes on it. Don't let your sight of that kingdom go. Remember to see this temporary life in light of your eternal inheritance because you are in Christ, the King of all things. Boy, what a reminder. What a thing to look forward to. You know what I mean? I cannot wait. Boy, I tell you what, this is going to help us. I said this was our last sermon, but there's one more because there's one more that has to happen in order for us to fully finish out who we are in Christ. I wasn't able to get it all in this week, so we're going to continue it next week. But think about this week. Read Revelation 21, read Revelation 22, and dwell on that this week. Know that this is your future. And in doing so, praise God every day. For the fact that he has allowed you to be his child simply because of faith in Jesus. What a glorious, glorious present. What a gift. And Jesus, let's pray. All because of Jesus. Father, thank you. We come to your word again. We are reminded of something important. This earth isn't the end. It's simply the hallway to a door that leads to eternity. As we walk through this hallway in this present life and we come to the door, which on the other side of that door is the reality of life. This is just a shadow of what's to come. That's the real reality of who we are going to be in Jesus. Thank you so much for giving us all of this. And as we look forward to our future, we are again reminded it is simply by faith that we have this hope. Because our faith is in Jesus Christ, the one who says whatever he says comes true, we know that we have our faith in a solid, solid foundation, Jesus Christ. As we remember that and as we live in that, help us to live in this life with our eyes set on our future life as heirs to the kingdom of God, because we are in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.